We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Coming up, we've got Dave Ray, Communications Director, Federation for American Immigration Reform. He's live from the border, and he's been meeting with folks in temporary detention centers, processing centers, talking to local ranchers, as well as our brave Border Patrol agents down there. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, Noah, how you doing, buddy? Good to be back with you again.
It's good to hear from you. So what's the latest to report from the southern border?
Well, Newell, I got to tell you, when you're not seeing this story through the biased, skewed view of the mainstream media, it's truly astounding and actually quite disappointing. What we are reading and how it's being reported is not at all what's going on here at the border. I'm in McAllen, Texas, which is in far south Texas, right on the U.S.-Mexico border. And this is kind of the epicenter of, the hot spot for illegal immigration over the summer months. And we spent yesterday, a colleague of mine and I spent yesterday having an overview of kind of the southwestern border apprehensions and the trends and so on, trying to better understand who's coming and why they're coming. But then the most eye-opening thing was a tour of the detention facility. Now, this was the same facility that Nancy Pelosi had toured last weekend. And what I saw inside bears absolutely no resemblance to what's been called, you know, Nazi concentration camp. The men and women staffing it, the law enforcement officers of the Border Patrol bared no resemblance to Nazi concentration camp guards. The people inside were treated in a very, very clean facility, were treated with respect, had three meals a day, entertainment, access to showers and clean water and toothbrushes and everything you can imagine. I mean, it wasn't the Holiday Inn, but it certainly didn't deserve the rhetoric it was given. I'll give you a perfect example of sloppy journalism and the media serving lazily as an echo chamber to the accusations. I think you and your listeners probably heard the accusation that immigrants were being forced to drink out of toilets.
Yeah.
Here on the border. And so I specifically asked the commander, the woman in charge yesterday, about that accusation. And they were out of the accusation stemmed from a facility where they were trying really pinched to put in more restrooms. So there was a closet that they turned into a single stall bathroom. And in this closet, it had a toilet, and then mounted above the toilet was a sink. Oftentimes, like you'll see something like that in jail cells as
sure.
Well.
Yeah.
It's just when you have a very minimal amount of space. So some woman who had never seen anything like that, came and told Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez that she was being forced to drink water that was coming out of the toilet.
Right.
Now, had any journalist taken 5 minutes to go look at that setup to see that there's a clean water pipe going to the sink and that there's a, you know, exit water pipe leaving from the toilet, they would have known specifically that this was just a confusion of a person who had never seen a toilet and sink mounted in that fashion. But instead, they, you know, amplified the lie, and it's been floating around now in the public mindset for 3 weeks. And when in fact, this is not what's going on. You know, like I said, the detention facility where I was, they get three meals a day. One of them is catered by a local restaurant every night, so it comes in as a restaurant-prepared hot meal. This is certainly better than most of them have had over the 3 months that it's taken them to get to the United States. But what was most disheartening, Newell, and eye-opening, they took us – so we went around this facility, and in this one giant room was a group of women, probably about 60 or 70 women. They were probably in the ages of 20 to 30 years old, and each had a small child with them. And then next to them was a group of men, and they were in their 20s and 30s, and each of these men had a small child with them. And the Border Patrol agent told us that for every one of these men and women, every last one of them had already been caught once coming into the United States, but they were coming alone. So they were sent back to their homes, their home countries, and now they've returned with a child. And the reason why they've returned with a child is that they know because of the way the loopholes in U.S. asylum laws, that they can't be returned to Central America so long as they have a child with them. So they have been, you know, they've really made no bones about twisting and turning and contorting their way around our laws that were meant to protect people who are genuinely fleeing political persecution, and they're using them as a way to game their way into the country.
Well, you know, it's easily explainable that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would be confused, because when she turned on the garbage disposal in her high-rent apartment in D.C., she didn't know what that was either.
Right, that's
so
true.
You know, I mean, I guess it's easily explainable in her case, but as it relates to journalism, you know, and reporting on same, and having operated a jail, I'm familiar with that unit. It's something that is common in almost every detention facility in the world, much less across this country. So there shouldn't have to be a whole lot of explaining going on to describe what that actually was.
Right. I mean, you know, you have to understand some of these people are coming from very remote, you know, villages in Central America. And some I've been throughout Central America, and some of these villages, they don't even have toilets. So, you know, you see a toilet that's a contraption with a toilet and a sink. I mean, I can understand the woman's confusion. Right. I can't understand the American journalist repeating it without checking the charge. That is unconscionable. I went to school with journalists. They're smarter than that. And the only reason why they're doing it is either they're lazy or they're biased. And they want to tell the storyline that woman was trying to peddle. And unfortunately, that image has stuck in the mindset of many of my fellow Americans. And it's only if you come to these places and see this with your own eyes and aren't subjected to the awful reporting that's going on that you can actually see, you know, these people are being treated with respect and are being cared for. There are doctors on duty 24/7. If a child has a fever, it's rushed to the hospital, billed to the American taxpayer. I mean, we are honestly doing the best we can as a country with a very bad situation, and taking care of people who are openly and willfully flouting our immigration laws as a way to scam their way into the country.
Yeah, you know, I get that it's a skewed dialogue and everybody's twisting and turning, especially with the backdrop and the landscape of the presidential election. Mm-hmm. You know, we now have a situation, and I'm just kind of curious, have you had an opportunity to talk to the Border Patrol officers? What's the morale like down there?
Oh, yeah, I did. I spoke to them personally, and then some of them started texting me afterwards. You know, I mean, I don't think they felt that they could have the candor that they wanted to with me while their boss was there. But their morale is on the ground. These are people who joined law enforcement. I mean, you were in law enforcement, Newell. You joined. You had a specific idea in mind. You wanted to protect the public. You wanted to make the streets safer. I mean, it's the same thing with these Border Patrol agents. Many of them are former police officers. They're U.S. Army and Marines. They joined because they want to secure the border. They want to make the country safe. They want to reduce drugs on the street. I had one mother who said, you know, she joined because she didn't want her child growing up in the Rio Grande Valley where there were drugs everywhere. That's why they joined. And what are they doing now? They're caregivers for Central American children, and they're wardens for Central American detainees who shouldn't be in here in the first place, were never invited, have decided on their own not to play by our own rules. They could have gotten in line and come through the legal immigration system. What's really kind of shocking is I said to one of the agents there, I said, so what 10 to 15 years from now, you know, the people that we're releasing today, what's going to be going on? And, you know, the agent said, well, they will have been at that point living in the United States illegally for 15 years. This is going to be the next group that says, I'm tired of living in the shadows. I came to this country illegally and I'm sick and tired of looking over my shoulder all the time. I need an amnesty. And these young kids that they've drugged with them are going to be the next set of dreamers who say, you know, I came to this country as a small child through no fault of my own. I should be given a legalization and made the same as everyone else. And you just see how this just becomes a repetitive cycle and how granting an amnesty to anyone just leads to the expectation of another amnesty for everyone else.
Dave, in all of this communication or dialogue, rhetoric about this issue, and in particular, the Democratic candidates, when they're sitting on these panels, when they're having their debates, no one ever seems to ask, you know, any of them, so what is the appropriate number that we would allow into this country legally? It's right. Always, you know, we're just going to do all of this. We'll do the amnesty. We'll have this. We'll have that. But there's never an intellectual conversation about the number that enters legally. And what I find really disingenuous is that the origin country of most of these immigrants have immigration policies that are so much more onerous than ours here, but no one ever points that out. We're right. The bad guys, I mean, but the origin country they come from would never treat us with the same type of treatment, which is far better than what we would receive if we were there.
Oh, that's absolutely true, Newell. You know, it's most Americans are shocked to learn that we take in 1.1 million legal immigrants a year in addition to the illegal aliens. But, you know, the Democrats have drifted so far to the left on immigration in general that when Vice President Biden at the last debate suggested that people who want to come to this country need to get in line, something that I think is a pretty mainstream American viewpoint. I mean, we know how to make lines in this country. We get in line for school. We get in line to go to the grocery store. We also know what cutting in line is. But he suggested if you want to come to the United States, you need to get in line. He caught all sorts of flack from Democratic Party activists about suggesting that people play by the rules, and it looks like his campaign's trying to walk it back now. I mean, just suggesting, you know, we're so strict with our own people on playing by the rules. You know, if you speed, you get a ticket. If you cheat on your taxes, you get audited. If you're, you know, you're late on a child support payment, your wages are garnished. I mean, we expect our own people to play by the rules, and we hold them to that. Why should we have another standard for those who simply want to come here?
Yep. You know, when I walk into the post office and I want to buy stamps, I wait in a line. I don't just get to go straight up to the counter. It's not how it works. Want to thank
you. Apparently, if it was a bunch of Democratic presidential candidates in line there, you could just walk to the front of the line.
Straight to the
counter. They wouldn't blink.
No, not at all. Dave Ray, Communications Director, Federation for American Immigration Reform. This story will continue to reveal itself, and we appreciate the update.
Have a great day, Newell. Thanks again.
All right. We'll be right back. Want to hear from you, 260-1870 or text 870-870. I don't know when this ends, and they just shot up a San Antonio ICE office the other day, and they've made an arrest, and we know what they've been called. Who's to blame now? No talk from the left on that one. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.